Welcome to episode 18 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament, a Bible study series on the Anglican Hour. I'm Father Ron Shibley, rector at St. John Chrysostom Anglican Church, the host parish of the Anglican Internet Church. In episode 18, we continue our study of the 10 unique parables in the Gospel of St. Luke. Today's topics are three parables, the lost coin, the lost son or prodigal son, and the unjust steward. As we have done before, they are presented in the order in which they appear in St. Luke's Gospel. The parable of the lost coin, found in Luke 15, verses 8 to 10, is the Gospel reading for the third Sunday after Trinity. This short parable follows immediately after the parable of the lost sheep, which is also reported in the Gospel of St. Matthew in 18:10-14. While St. Luke's account of the lost coin is unique, it cannot be understood without the parable of the lost sheep which precedes it. The audience for the parable is a group of scribes and Pharisees, plus tax collectors and, quote, sinners, unquote. The Pharisees and scribes sourly accused Jesus of the sin of consorting with, especially eating with, sinners. In the parable of the lost sheep, Jesus describes a shepherd with 100 sheep who, when one of which strays away, abandons the 99 and seeks the lost sheep. Finding the sheep, the shepherd hoists it across his shoulder and returns home and calls together his friends and neighbors, announcing the return of the lost sheep. The two parables are tied together by the transition verses 6b and 7, which are a sharp rebuke to the narrow legalistic view of the scribes and Pharisees. Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Having laid that theological foundation, Jesus delivers the parable of the lost coin, which on its face is the story of a woman who has lost a coin and tears up her own house trying to find that one coin. Afterward, having found it, she, like the shepherd and his found sheep, calls her friends and neighbors to celebrate her joy with her. Jesus' conclusion in verse 10 reinforces the message of verses 6b to 7 regarding the lost sheep. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. The parable of the lost son is found in Luke 15, verses 11 to 32, and is known as the parable of the prodigal son in the King James Version. I've used the modern name lost son because so few people understand what the term prodigal means today, and also the name lost son puts it in the context of the related parables of the lost coin and the lost sheep discussed earlier in this episode. It is the Gospel reading for the ninth Sunday after Trinity in the 1928 Book of Common Prayer, and very likely is the inspiration for the opening verse of the famous Christian hymn, Amazing Grace, I once was lost, but now am found. The illustration we've used for the slide is a 17th century oil painting by Rembrandt van Rijn, now at the Hermitage Museum in St. Petersburg, Russia. The parable, like the parable of the Good Samaritan, which I discussed in episode 17, is highly allegorical. As in my discussion of the Good Samaritan, this explanation relies heavily upon the symbolism of the events and objects according to the teachings of the early church. The parable is about a wealthy father with two sons, the younger of which, more restless and impatient, wanted now the one-third share to which he would have been entitled under Jewish law at the father's death. The father, loving and generous, granted the younger son's wishes. The son left his homeland with his new wealth and departed to, quote, a far country in verse 13, where he quickly lost it all to a profligate and most likely sexually uninhibited lifestyle in verses 13 and 14. With his money gone and a famine fallen upon his new homeland, the son was deserted by his new friends, and in his desperate situation he took a job feeding swine, an unclean animal under Mosaic law. That is found in verse 15. His desperation was so severe that he even considered eating the swill which was fed to the swine, which would have been another violation of Mosaic law. For modern ears, this would have been the equivalent of what we would call dumpster diving. In this, his most desperate hour, the young man pondered what he had left behind and thought to himself in verse 17, "How many of my father's servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger." His mind cleared and filled with resolve to go home to the one who loved him, he thought in his mind some of the most quoted words in the Gospel of St. Luke, and which are used for the opening sentence for the penitential season of Lent. This is from chapter 15, verses 18 to 19. "I will arise and go to my father, and will say to him, 'Father, I have sinned before heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.'" The phrase "sin before heaven and before you" most likely refers to his violation of the fifth commandment and the dishonor he brought to his family, "Honor thy father and thy mother," and his violation of the Levitical code regarding swine. Upon his return home, the father, seeing the lost son coming toward him, abandoned Jewish social convention and ran, arms outstretched, and kissed his son's neck. The illustration is a 17th century oil on canvas by Bartolome Esteban Murillo. Instead of the disgraced state the young man expected, he was honored in several ways, including a feast of the, quote, "fatted calf" in verse 23, meaning the family's most prized young calf. The father also offered the son three gifts, each of which has symbolic value. The first is the robe, which symbolizes welcome and the renewal of righteousness according to the teachings of the prophet Isaiah. In Isaiah 61:10, "I will greatly rejoice in the Lord. My soul shall exult in my God, for he has clothed me with the garments of salvation. He has covered me with the robe of righteousness." The second gift is a ring, most likely a family relic, symbolizing that all is forgiven according to the testimony of the prophet Haggai in Haggai 2:23. "On that day, declares the Lord of hosts, I will take you, O Zerubbabel, my servant, and make you like a signet ring, for I have chosen you." And the third gift, the sandals, symbolizes welcome and also is a symbol of the further renewal of righteousness in the mode of St. Paul's letter to the Ephesians, "Therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand the evil day, having done all to stand firm. Stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace." That is from Ephesians 6, verses 13 to 15. The parable does not end there. Jesus relates in verses 26 to 30 that not everyone was pleased at the lost son's return and offers an account of the older son's sulking refusal to attend the feast. When the father and other son meet, the other son complains that he had never offended against his father, never consorted with, quote, "harlots," unquote, and so on, and yet was never given such a great feast as the lost son received. The father's answer in verses 31 and 32 was clearly a lesson in the danger of self-righteousness that was meant for the Pharisees and is also a message for future listeners and readers on the concept of the merciful nature of God the Father and the forgiveness he offers to the repentant. Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. It was right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother was dead and is alive again, and was lost and is found. The parable of the unjust steward, found in chapter 16, verses 1 to 13, follows immediately after the parable of the lost son. In the King James Version, there are only four instances of the use of the word mammon, three of which are in this parable. The other is in Matthew 6:24 on a similar subject. In other translations, mammon and money are used interchangeably. In St. Matthew's account in 6:24, the message comes at the end of a discussion of the concept of trusting solely in God, whereas in the parable of the unjust steward, there are other lessons in the text. The word mammon comes from an Aramaic word used by the Chaldeans, mammonas, which refers to an excessive glorification of money or wealth. The parable tells of a steward or servant, in today's terms he might be called an estate manager, whose rich master, upon learning rumors of mismanagement, dismisses him and calls him to account for his work. Interpretation of the parable has been confused and conflicting since the earliest known homilies on the subject by such 3rd, 4th, and 5th century fathers as Origen, Augustine of Hippo, Ephrem the Syrian, St. John Chrysostom, Ambrose of Milan, and Cyril of Alexandria. The entire message of the parable, I think, is more important than interpretation of any single verse or combination of verses. This is also a lesson in the concept of Christian spirituality, in which the spiritual meaning is more important than the definitions of the words used. St. Luke's account captures that spirituality, I think, better than the similar account in the Gospel of St. Matthew. The master announces that he no longer trusts him in verse 2, and the steward makes no attempt to deny the accusations and says to himself in verse 3, "What can I do? I cannot dig. I am ashamed to beg." He then shrewdly convinces others who owe money to the master to settle their debts for lesser amounts. In verse 7, one who owed 100 measures of oil is urged to settle for 50. Another who owed 100 measures of wheat settled for 80 in verse 8. The suggestion was made by several early church fathers that the steward had the authority to make such deals and was using that authority to gain favor with the debtors for the period after his dismissal. Others, however, accused him of acting dishonorably by using the master's money to gain favor, and others accused him of outright theft. In the parable, Jesus commends the servant's shrewdness, observing that, quote, "For the sons of this world are more shrewd in their generation than the sons of light," in verse 8b. There is universal agreement that the term sons of light means Christians. Jesus explains it all in verses 9, 10, 11, and 12. "I say to you, make friends for yourself by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. He who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much. Therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? No servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon." Eastern Church scholars and the authors of the ESV Study Bible argue that in the parable of the unjust steward, Jesus' suggesting that Christians must give generously to those in need so that when their own need comes, they may find that those to whom they gave may judge them positively in the life everlasting. One final thought about this parable. Many in the modern church have corrupted the meaning of the word mammon, leaving the implication that all money is evil, or as the King James Version refers to money, filthy lucre. The truth is that money is an inanimate object that cannot be inherently good or evil. The sin concerning money is covetousness of it, which violates the 10th commandment. For more on the Greek origins of covet and covetousness, see the entry of the same name in the Layman's Lexicon, a handbook of scriptural, theological, and liturgical terms, which is available from the bookstore eStore at www.stjohnc.podbean.com. Next time in episode 19, I will continue the discussion of unique parables with the next three, the rich man and Lazarus, the 10 cleansed lepers, and the tenacious widow, saving the final parable, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector or publican, for episode 20. Thank you for joining me for episode 18 of the Holy Bible, the New Testament. While you're on our new website, I invite you to visit the digital library for our on-demand podcast and videocast archive, the bookstore page for information about all our publications, and a live link to our e-store at our Podbean site, stjohnc.podbean.com. More on that in a moment. And the Anglican Hour page, which offers links to our program archive of current and previous series. You can also now watch current and previous episodes of this series on our expanded YouTube channel, https://www.youtube.com/user/stjohnc. Producing these programs requires both time and money. You can support this internet ministry in two ways. You can make a direct donation by sending a check payable in any amount to St. Chrysostom Church to our business office address, 7162 Softwind Lane, Mechanicsville, Virginia, or you can purchase books from our e-store at our Podbean site, www.stjohnc.podbean.com. There you can go to the bookstore page and order in print or electronic form any of our publications, 10 at the time of this broadcast, and make payment using PayPal. If you'd like to speak with me personally about this program or any other subject, please call on my church cell phone, 804-306-1190. If you do not reach me, please leave your name, a message, and a callback number. Thank you again for joining us for this episode, and until next time, may the Lord bless and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be merciful to you. May the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.